And we are back. Tyler, Knowing Ball, episode 8. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, wonderful. Not a whole lot of news going on in the NFL, right?
Not at all.
A lot of slow days coming our way. There's, contract negotiations or other stupid drama going on, but really we're in the dog days of summer right now for the NFL. There's just nothing going on until probably late July, early August. So
NFL news is all dried up.
I think before we get started though, like your boy Luka Doncic lost in NBA Finals to the Boston Celtics. Any you want to stick up for your hero, your goat, as you told me
Not
you were.
my goat quite yet. I just like to refer to him as that. He will be my goat one day because I just see a really bright future for the kid. He's insane. I could sit here and glaze him all day, but the Celtics were cracked and insane team with insane depth, and Luka was a one man show with not a lot of help because Kyrie decided to take a vacation at the most important time of the season, and so did the rest of the Mavericks roster. He tried his hardest. He was hurt basically the whole time. I mean, looked like it at least, dealing with injuries and everything. And he balled his heart out and he lost, but he'll be back.
He certainly tried his hardest on offense and then, was a parent style on defense and
He did fine on defense in the series previous. Like I said, he was a little banged up, so I feel like that played into effect with his lackluster defense, but I won't really touch on that.
and did being banged up make him talk crap to the refs the entire series or
That's the one knock I have on Luka that I'll side with you on. I think he does talk too much and he does cry a little bit too much. But again, that's my guy. I'm gonna stick by his side. And yeah,
I mean, obviously, I'm messing with you. Luka's got a bright
I
future.
know, I know.
You could talk just as much crap about Chris Paul, probably more than you can talk about Luka Doncic. So I'm not gonna knock on wood that I don't have to deal with that anytime soon. So today, Tyler and I didn't really have much to talk about in terms of news. So we decided to talk about new faces and new places, if you will. What are the NFL players on new teams who have the biggest impact. And we limited ourselves to only one quarterback each. Obviously, you could go through every single quarterback that's on a new roster, even the rookies. You can just talk about, oh yeah, of course Caleb Williams is going to make a huge impact on the Bears, whether that's positive or negative.
Right, right. We could be
So
here all day talking about it, basically.
we've limited ourselves just to one quarterback each, and then we're going to go through, I think, one offensive player and then one defensive player besides that, and just kind of talk it through a little bit, but yeah, Tyler, without further ado, I'd love to hear about your quarterback.
I think the quarterback with the biggest shoes to fill. I'm having a tough time deciding between the two. I think it's the two most obvious ones. It's the guys that both blew out their Achilles last year, but I'm gonna stick with Kirk Cousins. That's my guy. Shout out MSU legend, Sparty dog for life. Love Kirk, but I just think that he has quarterback wise, he has the biggest shoes to fill just because with Atlanta. We've obviously have seen the lackluster quarterback products that they've been dealing with and the supposed weapons that are around them. Everyone said Kyle Pitts was going to be a phenom out of college. Everyone, Drake London's going to be a phenom. They have Bijan, who is also a great pass catcher and obviously great in the run game. As well as some other pieces too, but it's like, okay, hey, we went out, we got this guy. Their guy, I mean, supposedly they drafted Penix, but that's a different story that we've talked about before. They got their guy Kirk, and they're like, hey man, we have all these weapons, like go out there and do something for us, like show the league that this should be a top offense with the right person, in the driver's seat, at quarterback. So I think he has the biggest shoes to fill. Just because this offense has serious upside if the right guy's there, just because Drake London is a freak, Kyle Pitts is a freak, Bijan is a freak. Like they're all athletes. They're, freaky. They have insane builds and it's there. It just has to all be put together, with the right puzzle piece. And I think Kirk can be that.
Yeah, and I think that one of the interesting things with Kirk is the Falcons for the past 3 or 4 years under Arthur Smith really went with the team building philosophy. We don't need a really good quarterback to win football games. You know, Arthur Smith came from Tennessee where they were winning games with, you know, Marcus Mariota, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill had a really great season, but I don't think anyone ever thought, oh, 2019 Ryan Tannehill is an elite quarterback or anything.
Right, right.
So, you know, he kind of came in and said, well, my offense was able to do this with Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, so I'm going to go bring in Marcus Mariota. I'm going to go bring in Desmond Ridder. I'm going to bring in Taylor Heineke. I don't need a good, really good quarterback to win with this football team. I don't think anyone really questions that from an X's and O's standpoint. Like, Arthur Smith can scheme up a good offense. Just
right.
His personnel decisions, very bad. You know, there's no reason Jonnu Smith should be the primary target over Kyle Pitts. There's, you know, why is Bijan splitting carries with Tyler Allgeier so much? Yeah. Where Tyler Allgeier gets more carries than Bijan. That also doesn't make any sense, Arthur Smith. But yeah, so now Atlanta gets rid of him, you know, and Raheem Morris is going to, you know, you need your quarterback. Atlanta has a really good offense on paper, right? Like, they've got Drake London, as you said, they've got Kyle Pitts. They've got all these weapons to work with.
Yep.
I think that Kirk takes Atlanta's offense to that next level. And talk about, he should not have had any pressure on him coming to Atlanta. And you're already putting pressure on him by drafting Michael Penix 8th overall.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if, you know, you're like, oh, well, we're just going to sit Penix for a couple years. Like, that pisses Kirk off 100%.
Yeah. No, it lights a fire under his ass for sure. I would have to assume.
And at the same time, if he struggles even remotely, it's like, well, we have this kid that we just invested the 8th overall pick in. Let's go throw him in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that with what Kirk has done, especially in a division of the NFC South, which is not particularly good, right?
That's what I was going to touch on as well, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because the Bucs won it last year. They did it because they had a late season push. Like, there was no clear favorite until like the last couple weeks of the season. So,
I mean, that division is the definition of mediocrity in the NFL, to be honest.
Yeah. Ever since Brady retired, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that Kirk can come in and make Atlanta the favorites to win this year for that division. Are they good enough to win a Super Bowl? I think their defense has to make a couple more strides first, but
for sure,
like, they can challenge for that division easily with Kirk.
And honestly, they could make a push to probably win a playoff game or two. Also, I could see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thomas, who's your guy? That's the biggest shoes to fill.
It's not Russell Wilson. I'm not saying Russell Wilson.
That's the easy answer for you, okay? Fair enough.
Gosh. Okay. Side tangent. What are the Steelers doing at quarterback, legitimately? I get it.
It has to be Russ, man. Come on.
I get it. Like, you signed Russ to this deal where you're paying him nothing.
Yeah. But
at the same time, he and Justin Fields only have 1 year on their contract. And if they don't sign one of them to a longer term extension before the season starts, like, just my brain is like, they're just going to lose both of them next offseason. Like, neither one's going to resign. And
I don't know, because, like, yeah, that could be true. And then also, I'm assuming one of those two quarterbacks will be good enough to keep them at the level that they've been at record wise. And so then they're going to be SOL when it comes draft time, too.
Yeah, like, there's just logistically speaking, they're an upgrade. Both of them are an upgrade over what Pickett provided them last year.
Yeah.
So there's a very slim chance that they pick in the top 15, let alone top 5.
Plus, I mean, next year's QB class isn't even something to swoon over in the first place. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So whatever the Steelers' decision is at quarterback, like, I don't get not having a multi-year deal for at least one of them in place before the season starts, even if it's signing Fields to just a 1-year extension, just to say, well, we have a guaranteed quarterback on this roster next year if Russ decides not to come back. But that aside, my quarterback in a new situation, you know, I think that Aaron Rodgers coming back from that Achilles tear is going to be huge for the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, say whatever you want about him being a freaking weirdo, right? Like, that man.
Yeah, we already covered that.
We would all be better off if he just didn't talk half the time.
Just kept to himself, yeah.
Yeah, like, he can go hang out in the dark cave all he wants. Just please stay there and don't spout whatever you're going to come out and say.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the Jets, a team that Robert Saleh, again, talking about bad quarterback decisions, why didn't you just go trade for a quarterback in the middle of the season when Rodgers got hurt?
They should have traded for Kirk.
Like, everyone was thinking, oh, they're just going to, like, they were operating under the expectation that they were going to not have a first round pick in this past draft anyways, just trade your first for Kirk. And this was obviously before Kirk tore his Achilles. But anyways, what Rodgers can do for the Jets, especially in an AFC East where the Dolphins lost half of their defense and a decent portion of their offensive line, the Bills have gone just cutting salary here and there.
They've just lost everywhere. Yeah.
It's a wide open division. I don't think that there's a stranglehold from either the Bills or the Dolphins on that division right now. You know, the Patriots certainly aren't swooping in and winning the division. So the Jets just, they didn't lose a whole lot and they just got better with, you know, the additions that they made, bringing in two veteran tackles to hopefully finally have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
So with Rodgers back, hopefully at 100% for them, you're able to take that step to winning the division finally after God knows how many years. I don't know.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I just think that Rodgers coming back for the Jets with the situation the AFC East is in just opens the door for the Jets to really make that push to win the division.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I got caught up in thinking of the AFC of like past because, like, I mean, if this was last year was supposed to be such a good year with like all those teams, Rodgers and, you know, a healthy Jets team and Allen and a healthy Bills team. And now it's like this year, like you said, Dolphins lose half their defense. The Bills have cut everywhere, offense and defense. Allen has minimal weapons. His defense has lost in so many critical spots. The Patriots have a rookie quarterback, have a rookie head coach. I mean, that just isn't really a recipe for success this year, at least. So, yeah, it is wide open. And as long as Rodgers can come back and even be somewhat of the old Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in the past, that division is most likely going to belong to them. I don't see it happening any other way unless he has literally fallen off a cliff since he, you know, snapped his Achilles, which, I mean, I don't know, because he doesn't trust modern medicine. So maybe he has fallen off a cliff. Who knows how his recoveries actually went, but we'll see. I think that he'll come back. I think he'll be very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers that we've seen in previous years. And I think the Jets probably win that division and make a playoff push too, honestly, because they have a good defense and they have good weapons around Rodgers. So
yeah, I think that piecing together their offensive line is huge, and having you know, Tyron Smith in there, having Morgan Moses in there to actually be reliable tackles, as long as they can both stay healthy. They are both ancient at this point.
Yeah, they're pushing it. Yeah. Tyron Smith, I feel like Tyron Smith's been in the league for since I was born, but
at this point, they just got to go get Jason Peters and just round it out. You know, that man refuses to retire.
I mean, more power to him. I mean, yeah.
But, you know, speaking of the Bills, you said that Josh Allen lost all his weapons. I'm gonna skip you for a second. We're gonna come back to your offense.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah,
because that brings us into Stephon Diggs, who was my offensive player who's going to make the biggest impact on his new team.
Okay.
I think that he's under, I don't think he's really under any pressure to succeed in Houston.
No.
I don't think that, obviously he's going to want his targets and there's the risk of him going off on the sideline if he doesn't get
them. He's a bit of a diva, yes.
Every great wide receiver is. Yes. Right? Like, I don't, the only non-diva wide receiver is Marvin Harrison Sr. or,
yeah,
you know, like it's very rare for a really good wide receiver not to be a diva.
Of course.
But with Diggs, you're talking about a piece to help set the Bills, not the Bills, the Texans offense to that next level.
Yeah.
That final piece that you need to really round out that trio of receivers. You've already got a good tight end in Dalton Schultz.
Yep.
Running back situation, it's okay. But when you talk about a three-headed monster of Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, even Robert Woods is still on the roster as a fourth receiver.
Yeah.
You throw in, you know, all of that. Do you really trust double teaming any of them in any way? Like, obviously you would still shade towards Diggs to double team, but do you really trust double teaming Diggs and just leaving one-on-one situations for Dell, Nico Collins deep? Like,
I mean, yeah, and that's a good point. I think that I think it's critical on the fact that Nico Collins and Tank Dell both have to come back healthy and at 100% too, just because they have obviously had injury issues. So there's that. But like, I also think like Diggs has the least amount of pressure on his shoulders that he's ever had as a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And he is still, I would say he's still a wide receiver one. So I think that is going to do a lot for his game. I think that, you know, we saw these outlashes from him in Buffalo because I feel like he felt there was so much pressure on his shoulders to perform at the highest level. Obviously, that's what he does. But like, also, I felt like he felt he was the only consistent wide receiver on that team. Because yes, they had Gabe Davis, who was great, but I feel like his consistency was just nowhere. The only receiver that could go out and consistently put up numbers and be an actual consistent, reliable target was Stephon Diggs on the Bills. And I think that his outlashes and his backlash were because he wasn't getting the targets that he wanted and the stats that he wanted because Allen was trying to obviously share the rock when Diggs might not have thought that his teammates were the best people to share the rock with. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think a lot of people make I've seen a lot of people talking about Diggs didn't throw up a lot of receiving yards towards the second half of last year. I think he only had like 400 over the last 10 games of the season or something like that.
Yeah, he was very lackluster, yes.
But at the same time, that's when the Bills running game really took off.
True, yes.
When James Cook just started going hog wild all over the field. So
hog wild, I like that.
I don't know if I read too much into his dip in production late in the season as much as other people are. Like, I get they're like, oh, well, he's 30 now, so obviously he's slowing down.
Right. Well,
first off, yeah, like, he's 30 now. Obviously, he's not going to be what he was when he was 26. But also, yeah, like, James Cook just took off.
Yeah.
And Kincaid really showed up in the second half of the season.
Yep.
So, yeah, like, I don't know if I'd read too much into that lack of production late in the season as much as other people are.
Right.
Because again, I don't think that just watching the game, it's like, it's not that he never got open or things like that. It's there was more consistent production from other players as well, where the ball didn't have to go to Diggs 20 times a game.
Yeah. Right. Their offense evolved into something that it wasn't originally or hadn't been, you know, early on in the season.
Yeah.
So, Is that all you got on Diggs?
That's all I got on Diggs, man.
All right, I'm going to go to a different team in the AFC North. Thomas, you're familiar with them. Unfortunately, you're probably not a fan of them, but I kind of am. Derrick Henry on the Ravens is going to be the guy that I talk about with the biggest shoes to fill. And I want to start – I think Derrick Henry's a good choice for this just because – obviously, the Ravens' passing offense has been very wishy-washy throughout the years. Don't get me wrong. I think Lamar's a great quarterback, but I just don't think there's obviously that really many good – they don't really put a ton of good targets around him, a lot of good
– it's mostly just been Mark Andrews most of his career. Yeah.
Right, and then Zay Flowers is a rookie last year as well, too. but just a lot of like guys that they just throw in there, right? And they've been always heavily reliant on the run game and the option game within the run game, obviously. And you know, obviously they lose J.K. Dobbins, they lose Gus Edwards, who are both have been solid running backs. I mean, J.K. Dobbins couldn't stay healthy really, but Gus Edwards was very consistent and was a touchdown stealer last year from Lamar, which, you know, obviously frustrated me since he was on my fantasy team, but won't get into that. Because I still took first place, by the way. Anyways.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that once or twice before.
Anyways, I think it's pivotal that Derrick Henry comes in and he has an impact and he is successful in the run game. I think that is going to be possible. You know, with the different sets that they can work with Lamar, since he can also take off and run. So I think that kind of adds a level to Derrick Henry's game, a level of like, you know, because when he's in Tennessee, it's like, okay, if the ball is even getting remotely close to him, it will be going to Derrick Henry, right? Now it's like, okay, do I sit down or do I, you know, go after Lamar on the option? I think it just adds a completely different game that Henry will probably have to get used to, but also that he could use to his advantage, and we could see a resurgence of, like, you know, at least statistically, of Derrick Henry numbers.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's has illusions that Derrick Henry hasn't lost a step.
Right.
He is getting up there in age. Like, yes. There's not a lot of tread left on those tires, but through it all, he's still been a very productive running back when he's healthy. And yeah, I think with his style of running, it's never been about speed or burst. It's always been about power and, you know, just hitting the hole when it's open. So, yeah, I think if I was a defensive end or an outside linebacker having to cover the read option, I'm choosing between getting run over by Derrick Henry or getting blown by Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, there's a very potent level to that offense, especially one that so heavily leans on the run game. Right. Obviously, they want to incorporate the pass more in Baltimore, and Derrick Henry doesn't really help that. He's not much of a receiving back, but it just leaning into that strength of, we know Lamar's a threat in the run game. Now teams are really going to have a hard decision on who do we cover in the read option, because, you know, obviously, you know, Gus Edwards was fine, right? But he doesn't incite as much fear in an opposing linebacker defensive end as Derrick Henry does.
Yeah, they don't want to end up on a clip that shows them getting tossed like, you know, Josh Norman or something like that. So
I think that it makes I think that that you know I don't know if it really sets Baltimore that much higher than their ceiling would have been, just because I do wonder how much of a step Henry will lose, because the thing with running backs is you will see them just completely fall off a cliff. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but it is probably the thing that gives me the most pause for that move.
Right. And the thing is that I'm not expecting him to take a step up of where he's been. I think he needs to just have some consistencies of the game that he's, you know, been so consistent at playing for, you know, his whole career. So I'm not saying he should take the next step or like evolve his game, because obviously he's going to regress. That's just what happens with running backs that start to get older, sadly, because, I mean, come on, who doesn't like watching Derrick Henry throw someone into the crowd? It's fun. So I'm not saying he needs to be Derrick Henry of old, but just have some reminiscence of that, because obviously the Ravens like to, you know, filter their running backs in and out throughout the game anyways. You know, whether it's Derrick Henry or, you know, whoever might be back there, you're not going to be taking majority of the snaps. They're going to be filtering in other running backs. That's just how they play.
And it certainly helps that the Ravens actually have a good offensive line, which Tennessee did not have last year. So, yeah, I can definitely see, that, like, Derrick Henry is certainly going to be an impact player for the Ravens. Even just with the improvement in offensive line, it's going to appear like there's a step forward, even if there's not really actually a physical step forward, even if he regresses from what his actual physical abilities are. Just we've seen so many instances of what a good offensive line can do for a running back.
Yeah.
The Titans' offensive line last year did none of them favors. So
no,
it'll be interesting to see with the Ravens' offense this year. But yeah, I think we should switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to let you end because I like the guy that you want to talk about. So I'm going to cut ahead again.
Okay.
We talked about the Dolphins losing half their defense.
Yeah.
How the hell did they just let Christian Wilkins walk? This Christian Wilkins, all right, was the best player on their defense last year. And they just let him walk to the Las Vegas Raiders. How do you do that? Right? Like Christian Wilkins, one of the best run stuffing defensive linemen in the NFL.
Yeah.
We saw him take a step forward as a pass rusher last year and especially this year. It boggles my mind that the Dolphins, who want to compete for Super Bowls,
I was going to say they want to be contenders.
Like, they just completely ignore the fact that there's two sides to the football. Like they've only focused on building that offense and that
no,
defense.
No, Jalen Ramsey's got it locked down on the other end.
Yeah, he can play all 11 positions, yeah. Just letting your best defensive player go, not even going to another contender. You let him go to the
Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders. How do you not match whatever contract offer comes his way? We know that the salary cap does not really exist in the NFL. All right. You can throw money around, you can move it around, you can restructure contracts. Christian Wilkins is going to be a huge impact for the Raiders, but I think I wanted to talk most about how much the Dolphins are going to miss him next year.
Yeah.
Because all the other losses, like losing Jerome Baker, losing, you know, Grudger Hill, those are replaceable guys, right?
Like, yeah.
You're not losing sleep because you don't have Jerome Baker on your roster.
Right, right.
The impact that Christian Wilkins gave the Dolphins just... There's going to be gaping holes in that run game now. Like, they're Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips have not proven to be able to stay healthy. So you're also losing yeah. pass rush
True.
as well. So I just, you know, props to the Raiders. I think that they're going to be they're not going to be good this year, but I think they'll be a competitive team this year.
I mean, that D line is scary, man.
Yeah. Like
Wilkins, Max Crosby. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like that. I think that they're taking those steps in a lot of ways where teams really like to build in the trenches first and then expand out. I think yeah. the Raiders are starting to take that stance as they're entering this rebuild. And so, yeah, just the Dolphins are dumb, and that's my take.
Fair enough. I respect it. I don't have much to add. I think you covered most of it, and it's pretty straightforward. But I mean, yeah, that the Raiders are going to have a good defensive line and they'll be able to get to the quarterback, I think, pretty well with Wilkins and Crosby. And then obviously you said he's one of the best, you know, run stuffing defensive linemen in the league. And that's true. So they'll be in the better in the run game too. But getting into the guy that you wanted me to end on, I think this was the most pivotal defensive signing this offseason. And that's Patrick Queen signing with division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, which, yes, oh, yeah. you're happy about. My roommate was very happy about it when I texted him when, you know, it occurred, his signing. I'm kind of having the same thought process as you, except it's like amplified because how do the Ravens let this guy go to their division rival, one of their division rivals? I don't know, but I think he adds a lot of depth to, you know, a Steelers linebacking core that already is usually really good and really consistent. And they just made it even better with Patrick Queen. He's phenomenal. He's an athlete. He's good in the run game. He's good in pass coverage. I think he can do everything. He can pass rush too if you need him to. He's just kind of like a Swiss Army knife at linebacker. And I think it adds more that you have him in the middle of the field. You throw, you know, TJ on the outside rushing the quarterback. I think that it just adds so much. Do you guys, who's your other linebacker that you have?
Alex Highsmith.
Alex Highsmith, yeah. And Alex Highsmith's pretty good too. So I mean, you guys have a deep linebacking core, and I think that he adds a lot. And, you know, obviously where your offense is going to lack, your defense will make up for it. And I think that's just become something that you're used to and Steelers fans are used to, just because that's just kind of how it's been the past few years, because your offense has been lackluster and your defense has made up for it, you know, time and time again. Which is kind of why, unfortunately, you sit middle of the road and you're, you know, pretty mediocre team. But like, if you guys had a quarterback, you would be good and you'd be contenders. But
yeah,
that's what I have to say about the signing. I think it's a great signing, and I think that's a good step for the Steelers right there.
Yeah, you know, I think that for the longest time, the Steelers have been, specifically at middle linebacker, they've kind of just been patchworking it.
Yeah.
Ever since Ryan Shazier got injured, they've really been just plug and play with a lot of guys. Like, they thought Devin Bush was going to be that guy. He was not that guy, pal. He was not that guy. You know, and then, you know, Vince Williams was a reliable linebacker for a long time, but he was in his 30s a few years ago, so obviously his time had come. And then last year, Cole Holcomb, who they signed last offseason.
That's who I didn't know if you still had Cole Holcomb or not.
Gruesome knee injury. It'll
I don't recall.
Interesting if he's even ready to play this season.
Gotcha. At
the beginning. He's still on the roster, but he's recovering. You know, and then you're throwing, you know, it's a Landon Roberts is the other big guy. Quan Alexander got hurt. I'm pretty sure Quan Alexander got hurt the week after Cole Holcomb got hurt.
Oh my God, everyone's getting hurt. I didn't know your linebacker core was so beat up.
Well, Quan Alexander is made of paper, so there is that.
Fair.
But, you know, then you end up relying on Mark Robinson and Ooh. Landon Roberts
Ooh.
to be your middle linebackers. And, you know, Landon Roberts is fine. He's a good run-stuffing linebacker, but in pass coverage, I do not want Landon Roberts anywhere near a football field.
Right.
So, yeah, having Patrick Queen just really gives you a solid linebacker, off-ball linebacker, for the first time in forever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they just haven't had that. This is our, you know, our play caller on defense. This is our
This is our guy in the middle of the field.
Like,
you know,
he wears the green dot on his helmet. He's the one that calls the plays for
him. Right.
Like, they haven't really had. They've in on paper they've had it right. Like,
yeah,
you know, obviously someone has to wear it, but they haven't really had that guy for a while, and now they do. So, yeah, I don't know if there's really much more to add to what you said beyond that. But I like the signing for Pittsburgh. You know, obviously, we'll have to see how the offense comes along. They still don't have a wide receiver besides George Pickens, so that'll be fun. Shout out Patrick Queen for betraying the Ravens.
Thanks. Well, I think that's it, Thomas.
I think that is it.
I don't have anything else to talk about.
All of you watching right now, we have a bone to pick with you. You have not been commenting or liking our videos.
Sad.
Yeah. We're trying to pay off our student loans, man.
Yeah, I got a lot of student loans to pay off too.
Yeah.
My journalism degree isn't necessarily helping me that much.
It happens, you know.
Sometimes I got the piece of paper. I got the piece of paper, right?
Yeah, you know, you paid a lot of money to have a lot of fun for 4 years.
It's true. I did.
Do it all again.
I would.
Yeah. But that being said, you at home, we want to hear the player you think has made the biggest impact, will make the biggest impact on his new team. Don't copy us, because that's cheating.
Yes.
Come up with an original take, please.
The original.
But if you made it this far, we are very grateful, even though I just bullied you over the internet.
How about this? Tell us we're idiots for not picking your player, and then give us the reason why.
Tell me I'm an idiot because I think that the Steelers are going to win the Super Bowl this year. We're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to comment. You're funny. Holy shit, that's funny.
Anyways, this has been derailed again. Like, comment, subscribe. We're available on YouTube, not Apple Podcasts or Spotify yet, because we're really bad at this. And that is all we have for you today.
Soon. We're busy. We're sorry. We're busy.
We're trying to figure it out.
On it soon.
We're trying to figure it out. Canva sucks. All right.
Canva is trash.
That's not true. Canva's really helped me a lot with my job. But for this specifically, Canva sucks. All right.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Adios. All right. Peace. Peace.